Welcome back to Made in March. Today is Friday, March 12th. Alex, how many days until Selection Sunday?
We have just 3 days until Selection Sunday.
3 short days left. Still a lot of college basketball to be played before then. And we just got a two-man show here today, just Alex and myself. And we're just going to recap some of the conference tournament games. More teams were punching their ticket. And just remember, on Selection Sunday, right when that bracket drops, follow us on social media, on Twitter, on Instagram. We will set up the bracket challenge where it is free of charge to join, and you can just see if you can beat us. And if someone somehow does beat us, we'll Venmo the winner like $30-$40, something like that, just kind of as a, you know, shout out to you guys for being loyal listeners. Should we get right into the games to recap?
Let's do it. So we last recorded Monday, March 8th, so we'll start off on Tuesday here. Got some ACC tournament action. Miami takes care of Pittsburgh. Duke beats Boston College, and then Notre Dame takes care of Wake Forest on a very nice buzzer beater.
See, I didn't get a chance to watch it. What was the buzzer beater?
I believe Wirtz hit it. I'm not sure his first name, but it was kind of off an inbound, I believe. And yeah, just they were tied up at 77. Nice little buzzer beater to keep their tournament hopes alive.
Yeah, and you mentioned Duke, and I think we kind of have to talk about them, because Duke was actually, you know, believe it or not, they were looking good in the first round or two of the ACC tournament, and then a player on their team got COVID, and the way the NCAA has been operating with these conference tournaments, when one player gets COVID, like, the team is just, they basically have to forfeit the whole conference tournament, which, you know, it's scaring a lot of people. You know, we've been getting, like, DMs and stuff like that. They're like, what if this happens during March Madness? Like, I've had people text me about that. And we just wanted to point it out that while teams are getting disqualified from their conference tournaments for having only one player test positive, that will not be the case in March Madness. I think it's – what do you think it is, Alex? Do you think it's sort of like a way for, like, the NCAA to – I don't even know how to put it. Like, try to keep them as healthy as they possibly can going into March Madness?
I think that's kind of their idea. I think they want to, like try and keep teams as healthy as possible in the conference tournaments in hopes that they will be fully healthy for the big dance, obviously. But then you got to feel for teams like Duke who are trying to make their run, obviously, when they need to win their tournament to get in. But
it just, you know, it stinks to not see some teams be able to compete in their conference tournaments. Like, I know Kansas got the boot. I believe Virginia did as well.
Yep.
So it's kind of happening, but hey, if it means that there's no cancellations during March Madness, I'm all here for it.
I 100% agree. And then we got some small mid-major schools that punched their tickets. From the Colonial, we will be seeing Drexel this year. They beat Elon Musk in the final. We've got Mount St. Mary's, who I believe was in the tournament 2-3 years ago, and they played Nova tight as a 16 seed for the first half. And then Cleveland State is coming out of the Horizon League. They knocked off Oakland.
None of those teams really are too inspiring, I wouldn't say. They're all going to be probably in the 16 through 14 range. Except the one team I won't note is Cleveland State. The Horizon League, we love to slander. But Cleveland State's kind of fun to watch because they've got a bench mob that reminds me of like Monmouth from 2015. Where they just have guys going nuts on the bench. They bring their own passion, their own fire, their own energy. They're not that good of a team. But, you know, I guess out of all those three, that's the one to note.
And a note on Cleveland State, they also did only lose to Ohio State by 6 points earlier in the season.
Yeah.
Obviously, Ohio State's a much better team now, but that's just something to note. And then the last conference tournament was the West Coast Conference. Gonzaga beat BYU, but I do have to say BYU in the first half looked very good.
Oh, yeah, no, BYU's going to – their name's going to be read off on Selection Sunday no matter what.
And they are a spooky team. Where do you see them falling?
I want to say like an 8 seed.
Yeah, I was going to say 7 or 8.
I mean, but you're right. They were up almost the entirety of that game. I know they were up big in the first half. Then the second half started, the Zags kind of cut it like to about even. And then BYU went on another run. Like Gonzaga won by what, 10 points?
Yep, something like that.
Which looks good, but they finished the game on, I believe, a 23-5 run. So they were sweating a little bit in that one. And this BYU team is underrated.
Yep, for sure. But credit to Gonzaga. Perfect regular season. We'll see if they can continue that.
It would not shock anyone, I don't think, to see them go perfect throughout.
I don't think so either. All right, that basically wraps up the games for Tuesday. Moving on into Wednesday, we have Syracuse defeating NC State in the second round of the ACC tournament. This was Wesley's unranked team or sleeper team that he thought could make a run in March. They're still right on the bubble.
I know, and it's one of those things where every year I feel like I have like a few really specific discrepancies with like the projected brackets. And here's this is one that I just don't understand this year. I think Cuse should safely be in the tournament. I think they should be a 9 or a 10 seed. Their out of conference wasn't like great, but it's not like it was the hardest out of or the easiest out of conference ever. I mean, they played like Rutgers and other teams like that. And Buddy Boeheim, he was on fire that game. What did he make, like 6 threes?
Yeah.
I mean, he's so fun to watch. I want to see him.
I 100% agree.
In the big dance.
And then moving on to some Big East tournament action. Butler defeats Xavier in a close one. And this is a team, you know, Xavier and Syracuse both right on the bubble. I would way rather see Syracuse in
Absolutely. Than Xavier.
Because Xavier is, I mean, they're not good. They've been battling COVID problems all year. They haven't played many games. And then when you lose a team like Butler, it's like, why are they even in the conversation?
Yeah, so hopefully that'll maybe solidify Cuse's bid as being on the right side of the bubble. But you never know with this committee. They always tend to have some real head-scratching decisions.
It's always very interesting. North Carolina absolutely dominated Notre Dame.
Little, yeah, did they win by like 40 points?
42-point win for North Carolina.
I feel like you need to talk about North Carolina a little bit because a few episodes ago, you mentioned them as an honorable mention for like teams that you thought were underrated or I think it was maybe unranked teams who could make a run, something like that. You mentioned North Carolina's honorable mention. You like the way they've been playing lately. What do you like about them?
I mean, the last couple of weeks, they've been on a roll. They had that bad loss to Marquette, which was kind of a fluke. But I love their bigs, Baycott, and obviously Garrison Brooks. And Garrison didn't even play in this game,
really,
by the way. And their guards are starting to shoot the ball better, which is obviously key for this team.
Yeah, because I would say that's North Carolina's weak spot. They are not that good of a shooting team, especially from three. From three, that's really not their specialty.
And yeah, big freshman Caleb Love is finally starting to show signs that he can shoot the ball. Yeah,
chocolate peanut butter Love, as we like to call him. But you're right, though. I think if North Carolina, what do you think they're going to be, like an 8-9 seed, something like that?
I don't know if I would. Some problems for a one seed.
I don't know if I'd want to be that one seed that plays in the second round.
I 100% agree with you. Then Big 12 tournament first round, Oklahoma survives Iowa State. They win by 6 points. So points, Iowa State has been known to play some really good teams kind of close.
What a weird team Iowa State this year.
Yeah, I mean, they only have 2 wins.
They have 2 wins, but it seems like they play like 90% of their games within like 8 points.
Especially the really good teams in the Big 12. But yeah, Oklahoma's kind of scaring me a little bit. And we'll talk about them a little more later.
A little later.
Yeah, so that basically wraps up the games for Wednesday. Moving on into Thursday. Big Ten action, Wisconsin survives a very close game against Penn State. Penn State finished on a huge run. Wisconsin hit like 12 threes but almost choked at the end.
Yeah, it was funny. We were watching this game together, and Wisconsin was up about 15 with like 4 minutes to play, and I was like, all right, I'm out of here. And you're like, you're not going to stay to the end of the game? I was like, no, dude, Wisconsin, like, we won this game. Like, it's fine. And you're like, come on, just stay. I was like, all right, I'll stay. And it got way too close
for
comfort.
State had the last shot to win it. Came up just short. Not big on this Wisconsin team.
No, that's like, Wisconsin technically won that game, but in their minds they lost that game.
Yep, 100% agreed. More Big Ten action. Maryland, your team, get a bounce back win against Michigan State.
Is Maryland back? They look good that
I'm
game.
I'm leaning towards no.
Ayala and Wiggins, they played nice.
Yeah, I don't know.
But at the same time, it's Michigan State, who is like maybe the most on and off team in the nation.
Yeah,
they can beat the three best teams in the Big Ten and at the same time lose to like CSU Bakersfield.
Yeah, Rocket Watts is back to 1 for 5, 3 points.
Yeah.
Okie State again beats West Virginia. This Okie State team is insanely good. You need to look out for them in the tournament.
I 100% agree. And you know, I hate to really, like, give you too much credit on here, Alex. I don't like you getting too big for your britches. But you called this Oklahoma State team way back. When they were unranked, you said this team, A, should be ranked. B, is an unranked team that's going to make a big run. And you have been right every step of the way. I think they're in a tight game with Baylor as we speak right now, if I'm not mistaken.
They did have a 5-point lead at half. So looking to get some revenge there. And the big note for this one is Isaac Likely, who had missed like the last 6-7 games, I believe. Mm-hmm. He was back in this one.
And I absolutely love the energy that Isaac Likely brings to the table out there. He's like a spark plug out there. He gives that team a whole new jolt of energy.
Yep, for sure. And the thing that makes Okie State so good, as we talked about this a little bit in our group chat, is Mike Boynton, their head coach, he has a relationship with their players like I really haven't seen before.
Everyone's like, bought in.
Yep, he loves their players, and you can tell it's not just as a coach, it's as a friend. Like, he's going to be there for them, and the players love him. They're fully bought in. They love the system, and that's dangerous going forward.
And that was the West Virginia game, right? I'm getting a lot of my Big 12 tourney games mixed up here. Something to note, okay? West Virginia, I was very, very high on them. I think 2 weeks ago I declared them my winner pick at the time. But they've lost 3 of the last 4 games heading into March Madness. It's not what you want to see necessarily, but I'm not panicking. I'm not even really too worried about West Virginia because 2 of those losses came to, obviously, Okie State, who is proving themselves to be a top-tier team.
Absolutely.
And then the other one was to Baylor, I think.
Yep.
So I think this West Virginia team is still good. I still think they have Final Four potential. And as you've said earlier, you know, probably the most underrated set of guards in the nation.
I would agree. Then Nova suffers another awful loss to Georgetown in the second round of the Big East tournament play. If you're a Nova fan, you just hate to see it. You lose your best player, and then just the train falls off.
Not only best player, but I think, like, Gillespie was the captain out there. You know, he kind of...
Absolutely.
He's the conductor of that train. So Nova's going to be a pretty popular team to get upset in the first round of March Madness, I feel like.
Yep, I agree with you. Virginia hits another incredible buzzer beater against Syracuse. I think if Syracuse would have gotten this one, they would have been a lock in the tournament. Even though we all think Virginia is a bit overrated, they're still ranked 16th in the country.
Yeah.
But so, yeah, Reese Beekman, shout out Reese Beekman. He went to our middle school across the
local shout out. He went to the rival middle school. I watched him play in person. So it's kind of cool to see him at the buzzer beater for Virginia. But at the same time, if his buzzer beater is what makes Syracuse, like, on the wrong side of the bubble, I will be upset because, said it before, say it again, I want to see Syracuse in the tournament.
Yep, I 100% agree with you. Ohio State beats Minnesota. They won by 4 points. I think the game final was a bit closer than the game actually was.
Yeah.
Ohio State, obviously they had that little skid, but it looks like they're getting it back on track.
I would say back on track, yeah. But at the same time, Minnesota's been playing like one of the worst teams in the Big Ten lately. So I don't know if a 4-point win for them, something for OSU to really hang their hat on.
That's true. It was basically all Marcus Carr in this one. Oregon picks up a win in the Pac-12 tournament against Arizona State by 18. It's an Oregon team that not many people are talking about.
Yeah, they've won, what, 10 out of their last 11?
Yep. And they're fully healthy. If
you're going to buy into a team in the Pac-12, it's got to be this Ducks team. Because, frankly, if you're buying into another Pac-12 team, then you're just not watching basketball.
100% agree on that statement. Baylor beats K-State by 6. The rambling wreck of Georgia Tech beats Miami by 4. Little injury scare in this one.
Yeah, I was going to say.
For Jose Alvarado. But
he's their leader out there. He's the floor general. Like, Georgia Tech runs through Jose Alvarado.
Absolutely.
And that injury scare in the first half was, if you're a Georgia Tech fan, you're holding your breath. Because you only go as far as Jose Alvarado goes. But luckily, he turned out to be fine. Came back in the second half. Got some buckets.
Very well.
Got Georgia Tech to win. And honestly, I think Georgia Tech winning that game, do you think it punched
solidify
their ticket?
Their spot in March. I would say so.
Gotta think so.
Yep. Georgia Tech's another team to watch out for.
Put Georgia Tech on the 10-11 line. They're spooky. They got Moses Wright, probably one of the best players
ACC
in college basketball.
Player of the year.
That, like, is just never mentioned, I feel like.
Absolutely.
Like, you don't really hear analysts talking about Moses Wright, but he'll get you 15 and 15, and Alvarado will obviously, you know, get his out there as well.
Yep. And then, great game, top 25 matchup. Kansas beats Oklahoma by 7. Kansas basically led the whole game. Oklahoma tried to make a late run, but it wasn't enough.
Yeah, and Kansas led by a lot more than 7 for most of the game as well. Like, they had a comfortable lead most of the time. Oklahoma's another team we need to talk about because they have lost 5 out of their last 6.
Now a double-digit loss team.
I know, and they were what? They were like 12 in the nation maybe like 2 short weeks ago.
I think they were higher. I think they cracked the top 10 at one point.
Maybe they were 9 or something like that. But losing 5 out of their last 6 is not a good look. No. And unlike West Virginia, like, they've had more games that they should have won. Like, they haven't been playing Baylor and Okie State in every single game. They need better guard play.
Absolutely. I think I've said it for the last, like, three episodes. I think Reeves needs to look for his teammates a bit more.
I agree.
He needs to get Harmon involved.
Because here's why I love watching Austin Reeves play. He can do anything with the ball. You give him an inch of space, he can get his shot off. And at the same time, he can have these crazy drives to the rim where it's super fun to watch. Like, he had one yesterday where it was, like, back was to the hoop and he somehow, like, chucked it in. However, you're absolutely right. Austin Reeves' problem, I would say, is he's kind of turnover prone. When he goes into that takeover mode, he gets loose with the ball, and that is not good for Oklahoma.
Yep. I 100% agree. Defenses can just collapse on him and force him into difficult situations.
The only good thing I would say about Oklahoma is that Brady Manek has been playing better lately. So if their guards step it up, then I really feel like they could hit their stride.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just not looking that way
right now. They're an interesting team to read right now. Yeah. Because I feel like they have the talent.
They 100% have the talent to, like, go on a run. But they also have the team composition where they could get upset by a not even, like, incredible mid-major, just a decent one.
Yeah, I agree. ACC tournament quarterfinal, North Carolina knocks off Virginia Tech. UNC stays hot. A lot of momentum going into March.
You've been saying it. What did they shoot from three that game?
38%.
And if you're North Carolina, you take that and run.
Yes.
That's, for them, that's pretty good.
Yep, because you know what you're going to get from your bigs down low. Mm-hmm. They're going to be steady 12 to 17 points a game. Yep. And so, yeah, if you can hit 8 to 11, 12 threes.
As long as North Carolina keeps shooting, not even good, just, like, decent, you're absolutely right. They'll get it done down low. Dangerous team.
Absolutely. USC knocks off Utah in double overtime in the Pac-12 tournament. UConn absolutely demolishes DePaul in the Big East tournament. No surprise there.
But it is DePaul. You know, obviously they should demolish. But UConn's peaking at the right time. James Bouknight's healthy. He's finding his groove. UConn's another one of those teams you got to watch out for.
Yep, they have a sneaky, underrated backcourt. And they got some nice pieces coming off the bench. Texas Tech versus Texas, probably the game of the night. Texas wins by one. Very good game. Matt Coleman hit some clutch free throws down the stretch.
Yeah, I mean, I think he hit the two game-clinching free throws. He's just so clutch. You want, if you're Texas, the ball's in Matt Coleman's hands in the last 2 minutes of a close game.
Absolutely.
But I still think Greg Brown kind of needs more minutes for Texas.
Yeah.
Like, he's a rebound machine, and he gets, like, 12 minutes a game.
Yeah, Shaka, like, he starts every game. But, yeah, he only plays, like, 12 to 15 minutes. It's kind of interesting. I'm not sure. I think Texas likes to play, like, four guards.
Yeah.
Play a little small ball, but it's interesting because, obviously, Greg Brown's a great player.
Also, are you officially ready to redact your statement about Matt Coleman not being the best player on the team? Because that's an asinine statement.
I don't know. Right now, Matt Coleman's playing better ball. Earlier in the season, Andrew Jones was playing better.
If you told Texas, like, hey, the NCAA, it's like it's having like a draft and you can only keep one of your players or something like that, they'd say, we're keeping Matt Coleman.
Disagree. They would say Greg Brown.
No, but I'm not talking about like if he's like a freshman or anything like that. I'm just saying right now, Matt Coleman is the player that Texas values the most. You can't even disagree with it at this point.
I guess. He is the leader out there for the Texas team. It's close, though. Andrew Jones is still a bucket. But no teams punched their tickets last night, I don't believe.
Yeah, it was kind of more like power conference.
Yep, and a bunch of like smaller schools had their corner finals, like the Big West, Big Sky.
Mm-hmm.
Those teams out west. Also to note, Colorado picks up a win over Cal. You like this Colorado team?
Not really. I love McKinley Wright. I love the way he plays. I think every team could use a McKinley Wright because he'll give his 110% out there every single night. But I don't really like Colorado as a team that much, I wouldn't say.
See, it's like, I think Lenardi had Colorado as like a 5-6 seed. It's just like, I don't really know what Colorado's done.
Yeah, what on their resume proves that they're that? Losing to Eric Stevenson in Washington?
It's like,
come on.
I don't know. Did they play anyone good out of conference? No. They played K-State. They lost to Tennessee and out of conference. It's like, it's not like they've done much, but I think this is a team that very, very much could get upset.
Fraudulent vibes.
Yes, fraudulent vibes. And then moving into some games.
Whoa, 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 whoa. Are we just purposely going to skip over the Rutgers game?
I mean, I didn't really think it was that big of a game. They did win by 11 points. If you want to rant about Rutgers...
I don't want to rant. I just wanted it, like, to be known. Like, you can't only mention Rutgers when they lose and not mention them when they win. You know, that's how you twist people's minds. That's how you brainwash people.
Congrats to Rutgers. They beat a subpar Indiana team.
Yeah, pretty handily, I thought. Mulcahy was even out there hitting shots. Headband Mulcahy.
I guess so. You really want to talk about Rutgers.
I am all for fair journalism here. And, you know, I just like to uphold the truth, really.
All right. And then now can we move into today's games?
Yeah, you're all good. All
right. So start off, very interesting game. Maryland-Michigan in the Big Ten Championship.
Yeah.
Michigan gets the win, but the headline from this game was Juwan Howard wants to absolutely knock out Mark Turgeon.
He absolutely did. So Maryland was actually, like, if we want to go all the way back to the beginning, like, Maryland was up in this game.
Yep.
Like, up kind of big. At halftime, I think it was only, like, a two-point lead.
No, Michigan closed on a huge run to take the lead first half, but yeah.
Yeah, but, and then in the second half, Michigan kind of, like, ran the pace of the game. But Mark Turgeon, on the sidelines, said something to Juwan Howard that it flipped the switch in Juwan Howard. And Juwan Howard wanted to pummel Mark Turgeon to the ground.
And he would, if the refs would have allowed them to throw hands.
If there would have been a ring and they would have gave him each gloves, Mark Turgeon's heart would not be beating anymore.
He would be
dead as a doornail. And is this not peak Mark Turgeon to, like, instigate a fight that he knows will never happen? Like, that's such a troll move by Mark Turgeon. And if you told me beforehand, like, hey, what Big Ten coach do you think would be, like, this much of a pussy? I'd be like, Mark Turgeon. 100%.
Yeah, I mean, whatever he said to Juwan Howard was definitely uncalled for.
I saw a tweet today that's, like, it was someone was, like, trying to read his lips or something, and they're like, this is so disrespectful, but I didn't think it was that. I don't even remember what it was, to be honest with you, but whatever it was, Juwan Howard did not like it, because he's a pretty even-keeled guy.
Yeah,
Juwan Howard's not a guy who really, like, is too emotional out there, so honestly, Mark Turgeon must have really went deep in the chamber to pull that one out.
Yep. Then Alabama absolutely destroys Mississippi State, 85-48. Alabama, you know,
good to see them back in
Alabama
their high-scoring ways.
Alabama teams. It's no surprise. Javon Quinterly, we haven't been talking about him much recently. Him coming off the bench, he's been absolutely splashing.
Yeah. What was his line that game?
6 of 8, 14 points.
Okay, yeah.
But he only plays like 22, 25 minutes a game.
Mm-hmm.
So that's just a player to note. Western Kentucky in the Conference USA semifinal sneak out a win against UAB. This is a mid-major team that could cause some problems in March if they get there.
Yeah, they have a Wooden Award finalist in Charles Bassey. He's absolutely huge down low. He gets like 20 boards a game. But I don't know, they just haven't looked as good as they did at the start of the year. I think they played in the Maui Invitational or some other tournament, and they put on a show. So I obviously want to see them come out of Conference USA, but I would like to see them look a little better out there.
Yep, surviving. I mean, I guess depends how you look on it. They can win close games, but they probably shouldn't only be winning to UAB by 4. Wichita State only beat South Florida by 1. I know, Charlie, you like this Wichita State team?
I like this Wichita State team, not necessarily as like a team that I'm going to pick in my bracket, but I like this Wichita State team through everything they've been through. Obviously, with the whole Greg Marshall situation, I think they had 8 guys transfer out of last year's team, and that obviously is not including the guys who graduated. So basically a whole new team, new players, new coach, and still being a team that's like on the bubble, I think is pretty impressive. And this game it showed their grit. I mean, they were down 10 with like 3 minutes to play, and Altari Gilbert just started splashing threes, and they took a charge with like 5 seconds left. And that was that for Wichita State.
Yeah, they got a nice backcourt.
They do.
Another great game. Ohio State survives Purdue's late charge and wins in overtime.
Yeah, I only got a chance to catch like the first half of this game, and Kyle Young was putting on a show out there, and Ohio State was up by 20, and I said, all right, that's game. I think I'm probably good to turn this one off, and lo and behold, it went into overtime, you said?
Yep. Purdue is a noted second half team, though. I will throw that out there. Purdue always plays way better in the second half.
Yeah. Travion was just going to work in the second half, I assume.
Yep, he had 26 and 14.
Oh, Travion.
Travion's an absolute monster. And honestly, talking to some of our friends from back home, not many people know much about this Purdue team. They don't have the big name like Carson Edwards, Ryan Klein, and then like, or Caleb Swanigan, but this Purdue team is very good.
I agree. Because they can kind of like switch out like Zach Edey and Travion for like whichever team they're playing, whatever they think fits better. Interesting team. Very intriguing.
Very big team. They got some young guards. Going into the MAC, Luke really loved this Toledo team. They're a great three-point shooting team, but they get bounced in the semifinals to Ohio. I know Luker won't be too happy about that one.
Yeah, Luke was really hyping up that Toledo team.
Yep.
Saying how they're one of the best three-point shooting teams in the nation, then they get bounced by Ohio. That's hashtag MACtion right there for you.
Yep. And then we get to some interesting stuff. So we had two games that were forfeited today, two big games. So Georgia Tech advances out of the ACC semifinals with Virginia having a player test positive, and then Texas advances to the finals with Kansas having a player test positive.
Yeah, we touched on that earlier. So now Georgia Tech is in the ACC final?
Yep.
They're in the ACC championship game?
Where are they playing? It's either going to be North Carolina or who? Florida State.
Yeah.
That's who it is. So they'll get the winner of that game.
And that'll be actually an interesting game to watch, too, because North Carolina and Florida State did play recently.
Mm-hmm.
And North Carolina got it done.
Yep. And then we'll get to some games that are going on right now. Georgetown, Seton Hall in the Big East Tournament semifinal. This is a game to note because this could be a possible bid steal.
It could be. Because I don't think either of those teams are in as an at-large.
I don't think so either. And, yeah, these guys are in the semifinal, so one of them will have a chance to steal a bid against either UConn or Creighton.
Okay.
So that's...
I don't think either of those teams beat UConn or Creighton.
I don't think so either.
Unless Creighton has, like, a really off-shooting night.
But Georgetown has been playing better basketball as of late.
They have.
And then an update on the Okie State-Baylor game. Oak State had a 5-point lead at half. They're down 3 with 12 minutes to go. So that one should come
regardless,
down to the wire.
If Okie State loses that game, that doesn't do anything to their resume to me.
No, not at all.
They're still on fire.
Yep. 100% agree. Illinois is up 14 against Rutgers currently.
Can we get some stat lines here for my Rutgers Scarlet Knights?
Yeah, let's pull them up. Jacob Young is 5 of 9, 11 points. Ron H, 4-7, 9 points. Okay. Gio, 3-6, 7 points.
Efficient as always.
Illinois is just shooting the ball better
as
a team. Io, 5-for-7, 16 points. Kofi's got 8 and 10 already. So, yeah.
I mean, Illinois is going to win that game.
The better team, yeah.
Well, you know, obviously they weren't the better team last time they played, but...
Well, Illinois is probably the hottest team in the country right now. So, Houston in a close one with Tulane. The first half just ended. They're up by 4. Houston has suffered some very bad losses this
Houston,
year. So,
like, they have, like, good wins as well. So it's not like they're a team of bums. But they're kind of prone to these bad losses.
For
so
sure.
Not something you love to see.
8th-ranked Arkansas is down 1 at half to Missouri in the SEC quarterfinals right now.
That is interesting. Because I would have guessed that the Hogs would absolutely just demolish Missouri.
I mean, Moses Moody has 2 points right now. They scored 32 points, and J.D. Note off the bench has scored half of them. He's got 16 out of their 32.
Wow.
So obviously they're going to need their guys to step up, their starters. And then, yeah, that basically wraps up the games going on right now. We can talk about some games tonight. We got Wisconsin in a rematch against Iowa. Iowa's a 5-point favorite. I believe they're without Wieskamp tonight. I think this should be a close game.
I don't think so.
I think so?
Even without Wieskamp, this Iowa team is just so much better than the Badgers.
I don't know. Some tell me the Badgers are going to find a way to win this game.
Yeah, oh yeah. What's that? The fact that they almost blew like a 15-point lead in 3 minutes last night?
You know, without Wieskamp, I don't know. Wisconsin's going to get it done. Johnny Davis.
Bold take.
Johnny Davis is going to have a big game tonight.
I think big game from Johnny Davis, all right.
And then UNC's taking on FSU tonight. That's the game we're looking for in the semis.
Oh, yeah.
FSU, 3-point favorite. I like FSU to cover, even though North Carolina's been playing really good.
No, I like North Carolina to win that game outright.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, interesting.
They've been playing good lately, man. They beat them last time, too. I think it's a decent matchup for them.
All right.
Because they've got the bigs that down low can match Florida State's athleticism, I think.
It's fair. UConn taking on Creighton tonight in the Big East semis. Creighton, a 1.5-point favorite. I like UConn to win this one.
I like UConn, too. Just something about UConn in the Big East tournament.
James is too hot right now.
Goes together like PB&J.
Absolutely. UC Santa Barbara taking on UC Davis tonight in the Big West semifinals. Just thought I'd mention UCSB. They're coming out of the Big West.
Okay. The Big West isn't, it doesn't inspire me too often, but, you know, good for UCSB.
Okay.
The Horizon League of the West Coast, as we like to call them.
San Diego State taking on Nevada in the Mountain West semifinals.
Who did Nevada beat to get there? Was it Utah State or was it Boise State?
It was Boise State.
Okay, so Boise State got early. They got bounced early. I mean, I still think SDSU will obviously beat Nevada.
Yep, I agree.
It's interesting.
And we got a ranked matchup, Colorado versus USC tonight. I don't know. It's kind of like some boring Pac-12 action, if you ask me.
It is and it isn't, because it's boring when you compare it to, like, other conferences. But as far as Pac-12 is concerned, that's, like...
It's a good game for
the Pac-12. That's top-notch. That's top-notch Pac-12 hoops.
I guess I'm going to roll with Colorado here. USC hasn't been playing really that good as of late.
Never a game I would bet on, per se.
So, yeah. And then tomorrow, obviously, we don't have all games because conference tourneys are still going on. But we can mention a few here. Ohio State taking on Michigan in the semis tomorrow. Who do you got on that one?
I think... What's the line?
Michigan, 6-point favorite.
Wow.
See, I like Michigan to win, Ohio State to cover.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking as well.
I think it's going to be a close game.
It'll be pretty close, because it was close last time they played. I believe it was a 4-point game.
Mm-hmm. Bama hosting Tennessee. Bama, a 3-point favorite. I like Bama.
Smash the cover on that.
And then basically the only other game that is fully updated where we can tell you what the matchup is, Wichita State taking on Cincy. Luke loves Cincy. Will Cincy win this game? I do not think so.
I don't know, but USF put up a fight against Wichita State, which they should not have. But
Luke,
I still like
Cincy's bones.
I still like the Shockers there. But yeah, there's going to be a lot more games than that, obviously, because once the matchups today happen, it'll sort of fill it out. So when you're listening to this, obviously it'll probably already be done. But I don't think I'm going to be able to sleep the next few days with Selection Sunday and the Horizon. I don't think so.
Yep. Selection Sunday is going to be incredible.
It's the best time of the year, really.
Absolutely.
The birds start chirping and the brackets start printing. And when that bracket drops, once again, we will release all the information on our bracket challenge. Because we want to see your guys' brackets. You know, that's something I kind of enjoy. Like, I kind of like looking at different people's brackets, seeing maybe where their brain's at, where it's messed up, and where mine is superior. but it'll be fun, yeah. So stay tuned for that, and a little shorter episode today. But until next time, this is Made in March.